大丈夫さ、前に進もう。太陽をいつも胸に繋いだって伝わるパワー、願いを捕まえようよ。
Hey everybody, welcome to your Thursday, November 15th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast to end everything in one punch. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Robin Van Gilder. And you may notice Mike's not here because he's sick.
Hello.
Poor Mike.
Eh, whatever.
He'll get over it. I am also sick, but I am less sick.
See, Robin wasn't a huge pussy about it this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't actually know that he's less sick. He's just more willing to go the extra mile.
Yes. No, yes. I'm mad that Mike isn't here because we're not talking about One Punch Man.
Yeah, wanted to talk about that.
Yeah. So let's talk about it a little bit anyway. No real details, but this manga is amazing.
Yeah, just
it's,
go read it.
Well, it's a something that Jump is doing. I guess it's new. I mean, obviously it's been around for a couple months, but it's basically a free webcomic type service or something
really?
Like that. Like this comic is Jump affiliated, but it's being posted on the internet for free.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
And the artist is the guy from iShield 21, which makes total sense after I've actually known that.
But anyway, apparently Mike has been reading this from the start, and I think that Robin, you have too.
Well, I just started reading it like a week ago, but that means I've read it.
When the translation started. There's somebody who recently started translating this, and they're getting out like one chapter a day, and it's almost caught up now. On Reddit, somebody had posted up the man, more action comics should have sequences like these, and they posted to chapter 15, which is the most recent translated one, and chapter 17, which is the most recent released period, if I'm not mistaken.
Were they showing off the Ninja Girl jumping around?
Yeah, except that's apparently not a girl.
Is that a girl?
I
thought it was a guy.
It's totally a girl. Like, I know that they're doing that manga thing of, like, everyone assumed it's a guy, but
yeah,
he punched her in the vagina.
Yeah, that's true. I was kind of assuming, too. But anyway, and then 17 is actually even more amazing, and it takes his, it's basically him fighting against his subordinate.
the robot guy.
Yeah but we'll not get into too much conversation
anyway,
about it both because
it's really short to read because it's a lot of action, so just go read it.
It's Beelzebub turned to 11
pretty much.
So if you like Beelzebub, read One Punch Man.
And then additionally we'll talk about it next week because next week's episode is going to be an earlier one. We're going to be recording it on Wednesday because America it's a national holiday.
They didn't need to know that. It was just released on Thursday anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say we were going to have less Secret to talk out. About next week because not everything might be out by the time that we're recording it. But
yeah, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Jump is going to go on break soon. Like, I know next week's One Piece is probably the last of the year. So what we were thinking we were going to do is we're going to do Manga of the Year awards. And unlike any other Manga of the Year awards, which I don't know exist, but I'm assuming they do, we're not going to take this seriously at all. So, if you have categories to suggest that make us have to go read through things, go for it. Like, you know, best punch to a midsection.
Or best loss of an arm.
Best single panel.
Best clearly gay romance.
Shouldn't we go with best romance for that or something like that?
I don't know. I wouldn't say Itachi Sasuke is romance, but there's something there that's really creepy.
But anyway, obviously we're only going to be bothering looking into the series that we read. We're not going to be able to read every single manga that has come out in the past year.
Yes.
But
unless you have some sort of weird suggestion.
Yeah, I will admit that I will be contemplating, you know, the three Berserk chapters that came out this year or stuff like that as it may apply.
I will definitely have some suggestions from Billy Bat.
I think Kyo's going to handle that one then.
Yeah, so any suggestions you have, post them to respond to the post that this one goes up on Nitro Beard or something like that.
Or just tweet me or something.
Yeah.
We have people...
Facebook. That's a thing, right?
Yeah. Send them to Imran. He's the guy who has to handle all that stuff, so don't bother the rest of us.
The last couple of weeks when I've been putting up these on Facebook, Like, I've been titling these, like, you know, Santa is dead, Ace is dead, Byakuya is not dead. Somebody, I don't know if they're non-sarcastically or sarcastically replying that, dude, spoilers.
To Santa is dead?
Well, I don't know about the Santa one, but the Ace one, yes. And the Byakuya one.
Oh, come on, that's not a spoiler.
It's been sorely tempting to post the our favorite Tumblr to exit while he's catching up.
It's funny to see him go like, oh, it can't get any more real than this.
And yeah, he's only an Impel Down. Yeah. Oh, man.
Impel Down, somehow the weakest part of that arc?
I don't know.
That's the amazing thing.
Well, yeah. It's incredible. It gets so much crazier from there. Yeah. But I think that might be my favorite part. But I don't know.
I think that it holds its cohesion better together more. But I'm just kind of like, yeah, he's reacting like this. And, you know, he still hasn't even met Whitebeard yet. That's just kind of what it boils down to.
She's just going to get so much more real from there.
All right. So before we move on to our first manga, Mike wanted to have a note that I guess we should probably talk about this. Koisume Momiji has ended.
Yes.
Which one was that again?
The terrible romance one, not the decent romance one.
That was the pop idol, right?
Which one of the terrible romance ones?
It's the one where, like, his childhood friend, you know, was really shy and then decided that she wanted to, you know, impress him, so she became a gravure idol, or however that's pronounced. Like all that junk.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. Mike and I both admit that even though we don't care about the series, just to inertia and seeing where the hell it went, we continued reading it. And the character that you're supposed to hate is the only one that has any depth whatsoever, and is actually both of our favorite characters. So go
oh,
Finn.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Mike also wanted to note that Cross Manage is probably next.
Yep. It is currently, other than the ending series, bottom ranked, and then the other new series, the gag one with Date Senpai, that's about Masamune. Or not Masamune. What's
Masamune?
Date
Masamune.
That is third from the bottom. So neither one of those appear to be getting very well received.
So yeah, there's like one editor at Jump who's just really good at ruining series right away. Yeah.
The Crossbench one really pisses me off because I like that one shot a lot. It was really cute.
Yeah, it was great. And then it's like, it's kind of like the same thing that happened to whatchamacallit, the
Mirage?
Space one. Mirage, yeah. Where it became really, really generic when they turned it into a regular series instead of like this really interesting other direction.
I
wonder if
really
they're trying
to be... I'll just go out on a limb and say I didn't really enjoy the one-shot either. I thought it was really generic, so whatever.
The Barrage one-shot?
No.
The cross-managed one.
Yeah.
I don't think it was not... Like, I didn't like it because supposedly it would be fresh or something. It's just I liked it because it was cute and had fun characters.
Yeah, it had good characters.
Which it didn't do, apparently, in the serialization.
My favorite thing about that one was the complete ridiculousness of the hot chick, you know, coming onto him because they're both
lazy.
So incredibly lazy.
Yes. Doesn't happen.
No.
Can speak to that personally. All right. So, speaking of lazy, let's move on to Bleach.
Okay.
So, if I give you a list of things that you should not do when you're ending a manga, where do you think introducing a bunch of new characters is? Pretty close to the top. Yeah.
Well, okay. Just gonna throw this out there. Even though that we have established this is the final arc and that sort of stuff, in the commentary on the thing on the live journal where they post up the table of contents, and if I'm not mistaken, most of the people posting on this thing do actually get Jump in Japanese because they're talking about the chapters long before the scans come out. Apparently, okay. Someplace Oda has, or not, not Oda.
Kubo.
Yeah, Kubo has said that he's got 4 more years left or something like that. So
What?
Yeah, one second. Let me see if I can find this quote. Now, this is, you know, it's an internet forum. Take with a salt mine. But,
nice. Okay. I have to assume he'd just be joking.
Yeah, he has to be.
But then again, Zero Division, so...
Well, you know, this isn't going to extend it that far. I mean, we thought it was going to end pretty soon with this whole, you know, final confrontation with Bakht and all that. But then That ended up getting arbitrarily delayed, but I mean, it could still be like...
What do you mean, ended up? Who called that the entire way?
Right. Anyway.
All
right,
I can't find the specific comment right now. I don't know. It was something that I had seen.
But this just means they're going to now go to, I don't know, Quincy Land or Hueco Mundo or whatever, and then they're just going to fight through another group of minions and then fight him. And that'll be the end. And that'll be, what, another year maybe? If that. So I think it's still...
If he wanted to, he could wrap this up within a couple of months.
Right.
But
he's still within shooting distance.
Yeah.
He's probably
and,
right.
I mean, I guess the thing that's been hinted at with these guys, I guess, I'm assuming that all five of these are... Or wait, no, but it was only five war potentials or whatever it was.
What?
And Ichigo was one. Genryusai was another.
Yeah.
Aizen was another. That means there's only two others.
Okay, so they did say five was the count, though.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay.
It was either five or seven. But either way, there's too many in the Zero Division for that to work.
Well, no. But if you remember, Genryusai wasn't actually one of them. He said he thought he might be or something. I don't know. But I don't think he actually was established as being one of the potentials or whatever the hell he referred to. And and Aizen has not necessarily been established as one either. We're just kind of assuming that. Oh, and I found the quote, but... Once more, it's a person on an internet forum, and all they said was, quote-unquote, Kubo said that Bleach will go on for another 4 years.
All right, then.
And the only response to it is, when did this happen? And there's no response to that, so...
I wouldn't think they'd go so far as to announce its ending and let it go for another 4 years.
Yeah, I know. It has to wrap up.
I don't know. The most recent volume... Okay, despite how poor it's been doing in the rankings, the most recent volume sold 500,000 copies, which is still really, really, really good. So they're still making money off this.
I guess Bleach works better in volume form than it does week to week.
Well, yeah,
it's probably one
sense.
Of those things where the people who are reading it, because it's been around for so long, aren't the people who... Get the magazine.
Yeah.
That would make sense. And I guess now that they've introduced the wrinkle that he has to make a new sword.
Or something.
Yeah.
He has to make a new Bankai out of his old one. So now he'll have two swords.
Alright, so the thing that gets me about this is they Kurotsuchi goes and explains the rules of why the Bankai cannot possibly be rebuilt, then goes through about three pages of explaining every exception.
Yeah.
Right. Unless this or that.
Oh, and this one, you just didn't realize it, but it's actually a little bit shorter.
Yeah. That one's not nearly as powerful. This one, the pieces have been broken the entire time, I'm sure. It's like...
And that one, well, the furry guy, he's just special. His is special, so he can...
Oh, yes, but we forgot about the most important part of this entire chapter. Cone came back, or Con, or however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah. How long has he been gone? Because I remember...
Whew, man, it's been like...
Did he get a single chapter... Like he might have been mentioned in a single chapter during the whole... what's it called?
What?
Fullbring arc. He might have appeared in one chapter in that.
I don't know. I don't remember him at all. Because I didn't think that Ichigo went home very much during that whole thing.
Yeah, but I mean, there was one thing where like he saw his family and those sort of things, and I think that he was around then. But if not then we're going back to before they went to Hueco Mundo to break out Orihime.
Right. That was like what 4 years ago?
If not, it's got to be longer than that.
Yeah.
So why is he here?
Don't know.
Just cause he needed.
He's
a
one
silly
of
gag.
He is one of the war potentials.
He needed a silly gag to fill up a couple pages before he introduced all these new characters.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, you know, it is the final arc, so we have to bring all of the old characters back, right?
Right.
Mike's note on this arc was, "Oh look, Kubo Tite is designing more characters." Then he drew an arrow and says, "Read this with dripping sarcasm." Then he also added,
"He gave you handwritten notes. He didn't type this up."
It was a text arrow.
Oh, okay.
Of like a less than sign and a dash.
Oh, and that entire thing about the walls dropped down because they were protecting that other place is one of the stupidest things ever. Because you remember that dome that was erected too that nobody seems to care about anymore?
Right. That was like a big deal back way back when they first went to Soul Society.
Yeah, trying to break through that thing.
I thought
remember that fireworks maker who was so important back then?
Yeah, the one that was missing the arm. you know.
Yeah,
right. what was his name?
Her.
It was Ganju, who was...
Well, Ganju.
This is also one of Mike's notes. He said, also worth noting, the fat lady's cheeks bear the mark of the Shiba clan. Ganju, the one-armed fireworks lady, and not Ichigo, vice captain that died.
Oh. Huh. So, I thought that was just like
Recognized the things on the cheek. Wow, Mike. That is way more attention to detail than anybody should ever apply to Bleach.
And apparently Kubuki did. I'm just flabbergasted at the fact that he went so far to retcon all those Bankai things.
Yeah, like, that was...
Why not just change the reason? Why not make it so Ichigo's sword is weirdly special?
Yeah.
Ichigo's special? Never. I would have never believed that.
It's impossible. It never happens.
So the door thing that closed, wasn't it because Aizen was trying to trap all the, I don't know what you call them, the Soul Society leaders in one building?
Soul Society Senate?
Yeah.
No. Okay, that is the ruling body for, the council that's supposed to go over Soul Society, and he killed all of them.
Right, and then he took over and was controlling people with hypnosis and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
but wasn't that the reason for the door thing that these guys came from?
Okay. Right.
That's something else.
Yeah, that is where the Soul King, who is actually the person who rules over Soul Society, not the actual, Senate or whatever the hell that thing is. The Gotei 44, wasn't it, or something like that?
47, I think. Something like that. Anyway.
Anyway.
They were never important.
Yeah, they were dead, and Aizen was the person sending out all the command. Well, actually, it was Jin, I think, technically. But Aizen needed to compress a bunch of souls in Karakura Town to create the key to break into wherever the Soul King is.
Right, which is the Royal Palace, they mention it this chapter.
Yeah.
Which is somewhere.
It's in the sky, apparently.
Yeah.
Which, getting to it would have been really hard before everybody could inexplicably fly.
Right.
So I'm just going to go ahead and say this. These are the worst designs T-Day's done in a while.
I don't know. I kind of like them a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I like
them. I don't know. There's bearded bald guy and meh. There's the hip-hop doofus that he does all the time.
Amusing. Yeah, he does that too much. The guy with the glasses is something he does a lot, and it's kind of dumb.
Then there's just generic thug, but he's not in a thug situation, so that's why it's interesting. It's like, he looks like Kuwabara.
Yeah, but he does have the pompadour, so,
He does, I can't remember, the Danganronpa guy. Anyway.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. If he's going to introduce characters at this point, it doesn't look like he worked very hard on these.
I do agree that it does seem incredibly silly to introduce new characters. Now, mind you, as soon as they mentioned the Zero Squad, we knew that this was going to be happening.
Yes, I knew that that's what the point of this chapter was, and this was all just filler, the rest of it.
Yeah, just going to throw this out. For some reason, I thought that Byakuya's grandfather was supposed to be one of these guys, too.
What?
Like, he got promoted at some point in the past. Like, in the 100 years ago thing... That was one of the things that was mentioned, was that Byakuya's grandfather got promoted to the Zero Squad.
Oh, well, man.
They didn't
remember...
say Zero Squad, but they, you know.
Yeah. Remember that 100 years ago arc?
No,
Imran didn't read it.
You didn't
read
that.
Told him to, but he probably still hasn't.
Yeah, that was actually really good. It was really interesting and had lots of great character interactions and stuff, but...
Has anyone pointed out that there's really no reason for Ichigo to be here?
Nope.
Like, why is he... I can understand why they need to see the captains, because there's a power vacuum right now. But Ichigo's kind of like a... I guess he's official Soul Reaper, but he's not a captain.
But he's a strong
he's important.
One.
Yeah.
I don't know. This chapter, even if you take out that last page of stupidity... The rest of it didn't feel that great to me either.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. The chapter was just kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the final page was stupid just because, I mean, we kind of knew that this was coming, and I honestly don't have that much of a problem with the designs, but...
Yeah, they're all right. Okay, the real question is what's going to happen next a training arc, or are they just going to go and fight them?
Ichigo needs his sword back.
Right.
So it's got to be
next chapter
training.
Is going to be a talky chapter, where we get introduced to the wacky personalities of these new people.
Yeah, probably.
I kind of want to bet that the guy with the glasses just rhymes everything. Because that'll be new and novel.
Let's hope not.
So what you're saying is he's going to be Killer Bee?
Yes. That's exactly what I was saying.
That's what he's saying.
I guess the beard guy bear hugs people.
I don't think Kubo is that much of a hack. But I am willing to be proven wrong.
I'm trying to think of, like, really good characters he's made. And I can't. Like, they're not awful, they're just bog standard and fairly mediocre.
Well, he comes up with really interesting, like, character types and, like, interesting looking people a lot of the times, but yeah, their personality is just like they get one or two lines and then that's it. And weirdly, a lot of that stuff gets filled in the anime where they actually have, you know, like this extra filler stuff involving them. So,
like, what happened to Renji's whole thing of being against authority and realizing that he needs to fight for himself? Like, that went away right after Soul Society.
Oh, yeah, pretty much all the subplots.
Well, because the authority, you know, got revised because Ichigo, you know, defeated Soul Society, so therefore Soul Society changed, and then he had no problem with authority anymore, right?
But in fairness, nothing really changed, period. Byakuya was slightly less evil.
And they stopped, you know, the evil mastermind from controlling the Soul Society Senate. That
by
dude.
Killing all of them. I don't know. It just... Bleach's writing has never been a strong point, and I don't think that's changing anytime soon.
Really? You don't think so?
Nah, he's gonna pull it out for this last arc, man.
That's always what I hope, because, I mean, let's face it, Naruto did that.
Yeah, that's true. Although, I don't know. With how the whole Sasuke thing ends up, we'll see.
Well, okay, ignoring Sasuke. Which is generally good advice.
Generally,
it's been pretty
yes.
great. All right, let's move on from Bleach.
All right, fine.
To Beelzebub, of which Mike's only note for this week is best.
Yep, I will agree with that. It is the best.
Yeah.
I agree. Sorry, I was going back through the old Bleach chapters to try and find information about the promotion, but oh well.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Basically, this Beelzebub chapter was Oga and Hilda versus... What was his name?
Mr. Sao Tome.
Jack.
Jack Sao Tome. And the other character that I'm really glad is back because she had my favorite design in the series.
Yeah, she's great. I forgot who she was at first when, like,
yeah,
she
Yeah, I had to go look
herself.
It up.
She was the
like,
punk
oh,
priestess.
Oh, right. She was the one who trained them.
Yes, and also the
island.
Dark Beals is back.
Yeah.
Right.
Dark Beals I completely forgot about.
Oh, that's great. I like, because usually in those situations it, you know, ends up being defeated and just disappears, but it just sort of hangs around, you know. You have an evil clone now, deal with
it. And it turns out there is nothing preventing the teachers from participating.
No such rules. But she's not technically part of the school, so they had to announce that she is his wife.
Yeah.
Which Sao Tome did not
forcing him to because as payback for him sending them to get trained by her.
Which is way back before the Ishiyama arc.
Yeah. Yep.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
Beals and fake Beals start fighting. And fake Beals punches regular Beals straight into Hilda's face.
So everybody knows what happens.
Yes, she turns back into regular Hilda. And gets Helza into the contest. When she finds out they get to meet Santa Claus. And then it turned into directly called out a DBZ fight.
Yeah, well, I have to say that I think my funniest exchange here is right after she gets her memory back, he's going, well, it's a good thing that the maid demon girl's currently lost her memory because it looks like she hates me a whole lot because I groped her.
Did that happen once? I can't remember if he's groped her or not.
Apparently
I'm assuming
it did.
So, but then just like the you know, the conversation of really, really, they are amazing, world-changing.
If you wish it, shall I destroy it?
The school, and yes. And telling you, this arc is going to end with the school destroyed.
Probably. And then all the high-class kids have to go to the punk school, right?
Exactly.
My favorite
thing
is
their match is they have to put a balloon between their bodies and keep it suspended, but not touch the balloon because they have sandpaper gloves. And if they touch the balloon, it will pop. Yep. And then they have to try and pop the other team's balloon.
So they get into a DBZ-like fight up in the air.
Yep. Floating for no reason.
Where they do windmill punches at each other.
Yep.
The two most accomplished fighters, apparently, in the world.
It's just like the babies.
So there's a small throwaway line that I think might be kind of super important, is that the Migo prince, or the... I forgot her name already. The priestess.
Right.
Hilda points out that she also has contract powers.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not just her weird priestess things. Apparently she's made a contract with a demon at some point. So I guess that might be important.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, so what exactly are like the octopus tentacles that they stop themselves with, too? We've never seen something like that come out from them.
I think Hilda's doing it.
Yeah, that's Hilda's, you know, unspecified demon powers. She never really fights seriously, ever, so...
I mean, she's mostly just used her umbrella sword. I don't think she has an equal opponent.
No.
Yeah, she's also used her, like, flying demon thing.
Oh, yeah.
She rides the back of in, like, the first chapter and stuff like that.
But beyond that, I don't think she's actually fought anyone seriously. But basically, Oga figures out a way to trick them by opening up and then letting Beals be the one between them, so they grab him.
Uh-huh. And then they get shocked Pikachu style.
Yes, that's actually my favorite panel of, like, them realizing they have Beals.
Yeah,
just holding him up by his head, which that's how you want to hold babies. You know, it's no problem.
He has a knit cap, and they have sandpaper on their hands.
Sandpaper gloves.
Yeah. Yes.
And then they pop the balloon.
Yes. Team Rocket blasted off again.
Yes. And then Hilda punches Oga because he used Beals as bait.
It was a good plan.
Yeah.
I do like how Hilda went immediately from... okay, we have to go to the demon world to get the Gorgonzola beast or whatever it is, and then when he mentions it's the real Santa Claus, she's like, "What? We have to do this."
Well, why didn't you say so?
I wonder if she wants Santa Claus for some other reason.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking.
Well, I think that at this point, because she thinks that Santa Claus is actually real, I'm going to go with in this universe, Santa Claus, that there is a real Santa Claus.
Yeah. Could be.
I kind of hope it's the Demon King.
I wouldn't put it past this.
Like, the Demon King just dresses up as Santa Claus and gives out presents.
It's going to be Tojo, isn't it?
No, he only played Santa Claus. I like Greg's theory that it's Behemoth.
That would also be pretty good. He has the beard for it, so...
Yeah, he could totally dress up as Santa Claus, and only a few people would recognize him.
He just has to, you know, pat himself a little bit.
Yeah, this is a really hilarious chapter.
Yep, as usual.
Beals keeps getting better.
Continuing to bring it.
Yeah. Like, after Age of Furuichi, did you ever expect they'd be able to stay consistent?
Yeah.
No,
I
honestly expected it to get back to normalcy with after the Age of Furuichi, but I, as you guys said last week, the Age of Furuichi is continuing, so...
Yeah.
I like his one contribution to this chapter, which is that he was listed as the people who don't want to be left out.
That describes him quite well.
They have no other motivation, just, you know, don't forget us. Yeah, any predictions for next week?
I think that it'll be, as opposed to devoting an entire chapter to a single fight, it'll go quicker again and have like 5 or 6, and probably wouldn't surprise me if it finishes the first round.
Yeah, probably.
I could see them doing something crazy and having like Kunaida versus Tojo. Because, and just get rid of one of those teams already.
Well, let's see. We can go back a chapter to look
Where's the bracket?
To see where we're at. Because this was the seventh one in the first round, right?
Right.
It's the fourth. So yeah, we're halfway through the first round. So there's four more matches for the first round. Oh wait, no, this is the seventh. There's only one more for the first round. So never mind.
Yeah. Who is it? I can't read that.
Moriyama Seda versus Uige and Aki Shige. Do we know who those are?
I have no idea.
Yeah, so, yeah, first round definitely over next time, so we're probably going to get into the second round, and it'll be more interesting matches.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me. All right. So I guess let's move on from the fake romance manga to the real question mark romance manga.
So does
it's
Mike...
the end of the play arc. So this is going to be we're going to be covering five chapters worth of material here, but not.
So does
much,
Mike just have like an entire essay for you to read or something? Because
for Nisekoi it says.
Do you? I thought that you read this too, Behemoth. Do you?
Oh no, I don't read this.
Oh, then we can just push this out till next week, so there will be two of us that actually read it, so we can talk about it.
Well, Mike's note was good arc. Kind of feels like it's heading towards an end. And I read it, but I read
I'm
it contextless.
I'm not the heading towards an end thing at all.
I read this chapter, but I didn't understand anything that happened in it.
Okay. It feels like everyone who had feelings for anyone admits it, and girl who was mad at guy because he was a jerk forgives him for being a jerk, even though he didn't apologize, nor does he realize he was a jerk.
That was kind of terrible where she apologized to him and he acted like he didn't do anything wrong. Now, that being said, I do think that she also was acting stupid, so an apology wasn't necessarily out of line, but yeah, he's kind of a giant jerk. But
so here's the thing. Romeo and Juliet's not that romantic of a story.
No, it's
not really. It's about a couple of young idiots and how they kill each other for no reason.
No, kill themselves.
Kill themselves for no reason, excuse me.
But no, it's held up in high school as being this giant romantic story, and it's obvious that they picked Romeo and Juliet just because of the whole children of mafia families motif going on.
Yeah, when I was reading this, I thought it was just the stupidest thing, because it's like, hey, isn't this play kind of like our situation?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and the guy's
totally
the guy's like, I don't know, not really. And it's like, what is going on?
The fact that they directly say it pretty much with like this whole Romeo and Juliet thing is the dumbest part to me.
Yeah, they
like,
say
I,
it,
I can
like,
understand
really matter of factly. It's like, oh hey, isn't this kind of like exactly what's happening with us? And he's like, huh, yeah, I guess.
I can understand the theme and symbolism of this manga without the need to actually show it.
Well, yes, but, you know, it's geared at high schoolers, so there you go.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't think it's gearing up towards an end or anything like that, because they don't actually, you know, express their real feelings to anybody in this. I just, the thing that's interesting to me is, from the start, the guy in the blonde, I'm going to avoid using names so you know who I'm talking about, were kind of set up as the traditional primary couple. They're the first two that are exposed in the series. They're the ones that are on the cover together. She's the tsundere, you know, like all that sort of stuff. They're kind of set up as the primary couple, but after the end of this arc, she's almost in the position of the rival, if you will. Like it's almost backwards to what you would normally expect in this sort of series. So that's kind of an interesting switch from what you would typically see in these sort of series, but that's my only real takeaway from the end of the chapter is that he and Onodere, the dark-haired girl, genuinely seem to be getting closer, and the one who would typically be the primary is the person who's finally admitted to herself that she's interested in him, but is on the outside.
Huh.
The whole Romeo
and Juliet thing. I thought that was an interesting reversal compared to what you normally see.
Nothing has made me interested in this manga, really. And I feel, I mean, I read it because we have to cover it, but
You don't read
it. I don't read it.
You read the chapter, the last chapter.
Yes.
Talk about it.
And that seems more than enough, because nothing's particularly like. I don't miss anything by doing that. Which is probably a problem with this manga. That without any context whatsoever, it's still basically the same.
Well, I think that that's a problem for anyone that's kind of in a holding pattern before moving on with the story, which any of these, any ones in this genre kind of has to be.
You can make, if you've read enough romance manga, you can make educated guesses on what's happening here. And chances are you'll be right.
Yeah. Well, like we said, this one is very safe. It doesn't do anything particularly unique. It's just, you know.
I guess we'll wait for,
I don't know.
We'll wait for Mike to come back before we actually start talking about this more.
Yeah, I mean, there's not that much to talk about. It's they have the they have the play. Onodere, who was going to be Juliet, injures herself, so she's unable to go on with it. The understudy, who's the crazy one, gets sick, so she's unable to, and, you know, that's going back to that whole, her being a, she has some debilitating sickness that has yet to be described, and the current theory is that she's going to have her, you know, deathbed wish that she gets married to him or something like that.
That would be terrible. That would be, like, manga-stoppingly terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be pretty dumb. So, wait, she has some sort of undefined illness that's going to...
Yes, and, like,
doesn't affect her at all.
She met him because he climbed a tree outside of her window while she was bedridden as a kid and then would come and hang out with her sort of thing.
Okay.
And, yeah, no,
okay.
Like, debilitating sickness, which will probably kill her at some point.
Right, right. Okay.
But anyway, so she was out of the picture, so then they have the blonde step in for no apparent reason and then basically make up the entire play as they go with color commentary by the guy's best friend and one of the girls as well, where they basically turn the entire thing to be a commentary on the actual relationship with the guy, which was kind of entertaining. But, and you know, it goes over well, it ends, and then the wrap-up chapter is basically them talking, resolving the fight that they have been having, and then him acting out the scene on the roof of the school with the original Juliet. So there's your summary of 5 chapters.
What? I wasn't paying attention.
No.
It was dumb.
Okay.
That's all you really need to know.
Good to know.
All right, let's move on to Naruto.
All right.
Which was really good this week.
Yeah,
yes.
It was good. Although I gotta say, this whole... Well, we'll get to it, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole plan that they come up with is something I honestly thought that they would have come up with a while ago, because it seems kind of obvious, but I don't know.
Okay, so basically, Kakashi's running out of energy, so he can't keep escaping the Kamui attack that Obito keeps using.
Right.
So Naruto's just trying to defend him for a little while until... Kurama takes over
and
throws Kakashi into the Kamui portal.
Yeah, and can also give him his chakra, apparently. Now, I like that was the thing that I was assuming was going to happen, is when he was saying, you know, give me control,
right,
so
yeah, right.
I can
give him chakra. Yeah.
A half second, I did assume that, like, maybe Kurama just threw him in, like, yep, no more distractions. Because that seems like the kind of thing he would do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before... Before, you know, he became all tsundere for Naruto.
Yes.
And
but
meanwhile,
yeah.
The Ten-Tail, the shield around the Ten-Tails has started cracking.
And Mike's note for Naruto is the Ten-Tails looks a lot like Lavos.
It does! I
yes,
was going
it does.
To say that. Damn it! You stole my thing. Anyway.
Well, you are Mike for this this week.
Yeah, so I guess that's appropriate.
Yeah. Ten-Tails, not joking about the name. Actually, Ten-Tails.
Yeah. But anyway, so going to the plan, after he throws Kakashi, Kakashi gets sucked into the other dimension. And then they attack him. and Kakashi basically just wails on whatever parts happen to slip through.
Right, they try to attack him, and then Kakashi just punches him when he's in the other dimension.
Yeah, which, it works.
Yeah, it's a really good plan.
And what's like is, I can't believe this didn't occur to me.
I know. Well, I thought, like, when they figured out that they had this connection, I thought they were going to start, like, doing this a lot. But it took a while, because
well,
I guess...
they kind of did.
Well, they did it, like, once with the kunai, but...
Yeah.
Like, actually have him go into the other dimension and fight him in both places, so he couldn't escape, you know?
Yeah.
I think my favorite scene with the entire thing is when, at the one point when his head comes in... And he has no arms, so he has absolutely no means that he can defend himself while Kakashi is just punching him in the face.
Yeah. That was great.
It's actually a really good plan.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It does seem like one of those things that... It wouldn't have made sense if they didn't have that whole Kamui talk, like, 10 chapters ago.
Yeah, that's true.
So I ragged on that talk at the time, but it paid off pretty well.
Yeah. Like, I think I would have gotten it even without the talk. Like, I would have understood what was going on. But even having had the talk, the thought didn't occur to me for whatever reason. So anyway, then both the Nine Tails and the Eight Tails make a giant whatever bomb they're called.
A spirit bomb.
Yeah.
Pretty much what it is.
And attack the shield around the Ten Tails, and it disappears. And the chakra disappears from the statue, and then all of a sudden, Ten Tails.
It
and there
still
you go.
Manages to get
Naruto's out. Over. The title of the chapter is The End. So
this thing has way more than 10 tails, I'm just saying.
It has nested tails.
Yeah.
Tails within tails. The tail set.
It has 10 actual tails. I think the rest of it are spikes.
I guess. Anyway, yeah, it looks a lot like Lavos, but
It's Lavos with a Sharingan.
Well, no, it actually has arms going off on the side, so I think it might be like a humanoid shape, and it's just like pushing itself off the ground. But
so it's like instead a cyclops, it has one giant eye in the middle of its face.
Right. So it's not like a mollusk or weird thing like Lavos was. It's like a big.
I don't know. It looks like Lavos right now, though.
Yeah, it does.
And Madara apparently is very nonplussed by all of this.
Yeah.
Well, of course, he's Madara.
He's nonplussed by everything.
The whole Madara's trying to kill them thing has been a lot less tense than one would think. Which makes me think that he's going to fight Sasuke.
Yeah, probably. Well, yeah, because he isn't actually fighting anyone right now.
Yeah.
He's literally just sitting there hanging out.
Well, I mean, his entire thing was basically he was trying to wrap them in the wood thing to suck out their chakra while the Ten Tails was being born. For all we know, he was siphoning the chakra off of them and into it, you know? But,
yeah. It just makes me think, like, if they haven't gotten the fight started by now, that he's not supposed to fight Naruto.
Yeah. I mean, it would make sense if Sasuke fought him. I guess.
Well, no, like, I always thought that for dramatic tension, they were going to have the plan start somehow. And then, I don't know, like the, like Gurren Lagann, when they got trapped in the dream world thing. I think that right. We are going to see the dream world, and he's going to break out of it somehow. And then that's when the actual final fight will happen.
Sasuke breaks Naruto out with his Sharingan powers.
Sad as it is, that would not surprise me.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And how is that for redemption? He frees the entire world from mind control. You think people might be able to forgive him then?
He's still going to want to kill him.
That would be his moment of redemption.
He's still going to want to destroy the Leaf Village, because...
And he will succeed, because the villages will be gone, and there will just be the one shinobi nation ruled over by Naruto.
Damn it. Yeah, you're right. You called it. It's all on you now.
See, the shitty thing about the Sasuke stuff, and we bring this up every week because we don't know what's going to happen with Sasuke, but the fact it just like hangs over us like the Sword of Damocles. Like, it's going to fall one day, and
it's
we don't know how
it's going to be dumb.
Yeah, we don't know how it's going to gore us.
And who knows? I mean, we have been surprised by Naruto before. It might be well done. You know, with how this arc has gone, I'm going to throw that out there. Sasuke will be coming back, but it might not necessarily be bad.
You know what would be amazing? If Sasuke just didn't come back. Like, if they just never resolve that ever.
What?
It'd be so funny.
He just goes off with
Orochimaru,
and they just sort of go off to see that person.
And they never talk about it again.
They just never... Hey, what happened to Sasuke? Oh, I don't know.
And they had many other adventures.
He went off with Orochimaru somewhere.
So
clearly that never ends well.
Go read the new manga and Jump next week. Sasuke!
I could see that. There you go. Sasuke does not appear in the series anymore, but that's his next series, is that he just follows the adventures of Sasuke. I would be okay with that.
I would be okay with that too, because then I wouldn't have to read it.
There'd be no emotional involvement.
Yep.
So anyway, what do you guys think is going to happen with the Ten Tails?
I think it's going to make an even bigger spirit bomb and shoot it at the Nine Tails and the Eight Tails. And they're going to be all, oh no! And then, I don't know, something
you mean just
happen.
Instantaneously, just bam, it's there instead of having to store up the stuff and shooting them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems plausible.
Obito is going to get trapped in there with Sasuke at some point, and Sasuke will... Or not... Oh, fuck. Kakashi will make him explain his motivations. And then they have the talk about Rin. And then at that point, I guess Obito will turn on Madara.
Yes, speaking of Rin, the fan colored in page had her with brown hair, and I never imagined her that way. What I don't know.
I assume she was always looking like Sakura.
Yeah, pretty much, with pink hair. Because, you know, manga.
I don't know. That one just... seemed weird to me for some reason, so I thought that I would mention that.
I don't think they've established a hair color for her.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure she was in any of the color pages or covers.
And it's impossible.
Wasn't the one where, like, it had the pictures of them as kids and then as older colored in? But maybe she wasn't one of them because she didn't live that long.
That one wasn't color, I don't think. Yeah.
That wasn't that long ago, but I can't remember exactly what chapter.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I've learned from Assassination Classroom, seeing someone with not black hair in manga doesn't mean anything. It can be literally
seeing someone having,
color.
You know, shaded a certain color doesn't necessarily mean anything, like the other blue-haired person.
Right. That's not Nagisa.
Apparently everyone in Assassination Classroom has blue hair. And you
is that Karma?
Well, right. No. If you look at the page, there's only the two of them that have blue hair. Him with, like, you know, cerulean blue, and her with, like, aquatic blue.
Right.
Is that supposed to be Kanzaki with the gray hair? Or who is that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I guess it's not Kanzaki, because she doesn't look like her, and obviously her hair is black.
Weird hair.
Karma has red hair.
Yeah, Karma has red.
Karma is Iori from King of Fighters.
Right,
like, exactly.
Right. Well, he doesn't have the weird belt things around his legs, though.
Yeah. But yeah, Assassination Classroom.
Oh, and actually, my bad. I guess from the anime, Rin has been colored in back in, like, you know, the Kakashi Gaiden and that sort of stuff. And yeah,
oh, that
dark hair.
Makes sense.
Huh. So, my bad. Brown.
Well, there.
Yeah.
All right, so on to Assassination Classroom.
Seems appropriate.
We'll do last week's first, because we didn't get a chance to talk about that. But... still kind of rapey.
Yeah. I kind of see where when Mike was talking about, oh, he's just going to make them do bad things, they kind of push in that direction, but it can still be interpreted in a rapey manner.
Well, he says something,
in this situation, I mean, yeah, that is kind of a rapey situation, so...
Well, there's two really kind of weird lines. One is about how he's going to keep them all night, and the next day they have to go back and lie about where they were.
Right. Yeah.
And the other is when he says he grabs powerful women and tells them, or engraves wounds that will never disappear in their heart and body.
Right? Yeah.
Which is like, that one's a bit harder to interpret differently.
Yeah.
So I think we can, you know, just lay it out there. I think that the guy who writes this is a little rapey, because, you know, there's the whole tentacle thing that happened with the one teacher.
Yeah.
Now there's this thing. And I think he's kind of towing the line as close as they can in Shonen Jump.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, the bad guy punches girl Nagisa and starts choking her. That's a rather intense image for a shonen manga. Yeah. Especially a gag manga that's been so lighthearted.
Well, I don't know that this one necessarily lighthearted when it's about a, you know, trying to kill a teacher who has
destroyed her. It's fairly lighthearted.
But it has a lot of black, dark humor, and I think... Well, have either of you read any of his previous manga?
No.
Something Neuro?
No.
Because it has also a lot of this sort of thing. Like, the main character is this demon, and this girl is his assistant. She's kind of the protagonist. And he's kind of using her to uncover mysteries and all this stuff. And it's kind of an ongoing joke that he always does really abusive stuff to her.
Like, 'cause it's funny.
Comically abusive. And he's, you know, this evil demon and everything, but it's also kind of weirded me out over in that, too. I was reading a little bit of it last weekend, so...
I wonder if there's, like, a cultural divide here. Like...
Maybe.
This is just weirder in America, that it seems fine for the bad guys to slap girls around and threaten to rape them.
Well, I wouldn't even be bothered in that something targeted at a higher, at an older audience. You know what I mean? I think it's more that this is, you know, ostensibly targeted at, like, middle schoolers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't think this would bother me so much if this wasn't such a good manga aside from this stuff.
I don't know. It doesn't really bother me that much.
It kind of, arena stuff bothered me because that was played for laughs. And I can understand why he did that.
This one at least is not being played for laughs.
Right. Yeah. This is just, you know, they're being threatened and it's a bad situation because, you know, that's what happens.
But it also, like, puts some of the other stuff in perspective. Like, everyone's taking it kind of easy reading the jokey stuff from the guide while the girls are in a rape den. Like, it's a weird dichotomy that I'm not sure works out too well.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, they read what to do when someone in your group is kidnapped.
Yeah, so what happens when they're kidnapped?
Along with other ridiculously detailed instructions for problems, like, they might have.
And don't cry when you find souvenirs back at home.
That look like the ones you bought. Or don't get sad if you see couples on the river and you feel lonely.
Yep.
Yeah, they use the guide to eventually narrow down and find where Kenzaki...
Where they're hiding and how to deal with them.
Yeah.
They also contact, the teacher in the meantime.
Yeah, that was what Mike's note is. Kind of disappointed Kuro-sensei had to show up and help. Also seems like the artist is putting in more wacky sight gags. Which has more to do with the next chapter than this one, but...
Right.
Yeah, I can understand how people would be disappointed that Kuro-sensei had to get involved.
Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, like they showed in the previous chapter, a couple of chapters ago, you know, they are high schoolers and these are just middle schoolers, so...
Yeah, and let's be honest, even though they're middle schoolers, they do take care of business with at least some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand, from like a story perspective, why they needed Kuro-sensei, because... Just karma showing up and beating up everybody makes this manga a lot about karma.
Yeah, that would be kind of boring. I was a little worried when it was heading in that direction, because that was just going to be, you know, oh, he's this badass guy again, so. But, I don't know. I liked how it wrapped up.
Yeah. He called in reinforcements, and Kuro-sensei made them into nerds.
Yes, and the Kuro-sensei with all of them on his one tentacle just being held up and choked... Kind of dark in an awesome way.
Yeah.
He's wearing a stage production veil.
Because he's not there.
Yes. He wanted to hide his face.
And then he totally breaks their necks. But they're still alive.
Yeah.
Of course.
Because.
And then they all get hit with blunt objects. Those giant guidebooks that he passed out.
Well, that's why that is obviously the real reason that he gave them to them, is so that they would have a weapon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first he delivered a stirring speech about how it doesn't matter where you're from, as long as, like, you know, you can grow into whatever you want to be.
Yeah.
Which I guess was exactly what Kenzaki needed to hear, because she has a completely plain-faced epiphany.
Right.
Kenzaki was kind of
a fish with wings.
Yeah. Her whole place in this seemed kind of useless.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It was weird. I don't know.
Yeah, for her to become a named character and then just sort of like, she sits there stone-faced and occasionally reacts to things.
This is more of an introduction arc for her than becoming a main character quite yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see how she's utilized in future chapters.
On the other hand, we got like that one issue about the girl with glasses, and she did nothing. She hit somebody with a book today.
Well, yeah, chapter. She's just sort of, you know, one of the characters now.
Yeah. So I don't know that they're ever going to do anything with Kenzaki again.
Oh, she'll just be around and, you know, get one-off lines here or there.
It's mostly Nagisa that gets most of the lines. And honestly, Nagisa and Girl Nagisa are way too similar. Like,
yeah.
There's this one page of, like, you can see them making the exact same facial expression. Like, the last page of the chapter. Of, like, right below each other. Or Nagisa's right below Girl Nagisa.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure he just took the same picture and then added more detail.
It wouldn't surprise me, and also it kills me that she has the darker shaded hair despite having the lighter hair of the two.
Yeah, the lighter blue hair.
It might be one of those things where he doesn't give a shit about colors.
Yeah.
He'll just do whatever.
Yeah, I guess.
Which, I mean, he's put Koro-sensei in different... Koro-sensei does color change, but he's like green, blue, rainbow, yellow.
Yeah.
I think the official merch, which is now out rather fast, actually.
Well, yeah, because it's super popular. So.
Yeah, it has them all as a yellow character.
It's basically, has the anime been announced yet? You know, like, that's kind of where we're at with this series at this point.
Yeah, I think they want to let it build up more chapters before they do that.
I say next spring we're going to get an announcement for following year or that fall.
Yeah, that fall, because it'll have around 50 by that time, so, yeah.
And because these chapters are, for the most part, relatively self-contained. It would not be hard to build out the story in the individual episodes to make a chapter to an episode. This would not be hard to translate to a series.
And you could make filler pretty easily.
Yeah, that's true.
So I definitely say that Assassination Classroom 2013 is going to be its anime year.
Probably.
All right, now let's move on to the next one, which has to do with the sniper that was hired to kill Koro-sensei.
Right. Yes. Red
Eye.
Because his eye always sees red. Kind of a weird nickname, but I guess?
It's also the name for, like, you know, flights late at night, because everyone's eyes are bloodshot. So it's kind of a strange thing to do. But
yeah, he's like, I who have a score of 35 kills, and now I'm not, you know, a professional hitman or anything like that, but 35 doesn't necessarily seem terribly high.
I don't know, when you're talking, like...
Okay, maybe it's 35 where, like, targets, but he has to take other people down around them or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
But that would be fine, but, you know, just... To become the world's best sniper professional assassin with 35 kills... Seems kind of a low threshold.
I don't know. It's one of those things where it sounds like, you know, soldiers don't get more than like 20 kills and considered insane and are like really high skilled.
Yeah.
So this may be one of those things where, like, it doesn't sound that big in manga terms, but in real life terms, that's a lot.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Fair point.
But yeah, he's basically, this chapter is about him stalking Koro-sensei throughout. This goes on parallel to the whole kidnapping thing.
Right. Parallel to their whole trip to Kyoto, really.
Yeah. So the kids are working with the sniper in that they're giving him signals for when to take a shot and leading Koro-sensei places.
Right.
And each time he just happens to block the bullet.
Right, because they gave him special bullets made of the anti-Koro-sensei stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he has to use something.
The first time he used food, and he managed to catch like a speeding bullet while being hit by a train. The second time he went to one of those period dramas, which I guess the closest American equivalent would be like those old West towns.
Right.
Yeah.
Where they have those gunfights at like 12 o'clock.
Or, you know, what's it called? I guess this is something from living in Virginia, you know, going to colonial Jamestown or something like that.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess this is an actual... They actually, like, film movies in this part of Kyoto and stuff, so...
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
So Koro-sensei gets involved in the action by getting in samurai garb and starting to speak like a samurai, saying things like,
"Because, yeah, go ahead.
The only flower which blooms through villainy is the bloody sakura."
His catchphrase.
Yep.
Of course, how could you, you know, not get involved, right?
But he's actually sword fighting with people. And thus, the sniper cannot get a clean shot.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go look for souvenirs.
At Kiyomizu, which is the biggest temple in Kyoto.
And somebody offers him facial cleansing pads.
Which, I guess, is not the same as those cooling pads that Arno is always wearing.
Yeah, I think they're things that stick on, and apparently, like, they clean the pores there.
Yeah, I guess. But throughout the day. I don't know why you'd leave them on, then. Seems kind of weird.
But apparently he is so mucusy that they sucked up so much that it was able to stop the bullet.
And at that point, he then takes off to solve the kidnapping thing that they've been dealing with, where he turned the punks into nerds. And the sniper becomes so disillusioned by this that he's thinking about quitting. And then he thinks about shooting Elmo.
That time he shot Elmo.
That time. He previously has done so. And there's also a Mario hat right there, too.
Well, he's thinking about a red thing. So it's a fire hydrant and a Mario hat and a tomato and Elmo.
Which is one of the sight gags that Mike wanted to call out, that, like, the monkey Jesus and Elmo, apparently he's just going to start throwing these things in.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Like, I laugh, but I'm also incredibly confused.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, well, that was random.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if he's going to do that, then great. Make it your thing. I don't dislike that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, so eventually Koro-sensei shows up and gives him a souvenir.
Mm-hmm.
And they agree to talk.
Yes, I'm assuming that charm is supposed to be red. To go with that entire speech there of when he was looking through his, you know, fake scope with his hand, and then it appears there, and it if it would be red, it would fit.
Yeah. It would make sense.
Yeah.
So they sit down to, I think it's tofu?
Yeah.
Tofu soup?
That was actually my favorite joke of this one. He can't handle hot food.
Yes, that is his 11th weakness.
So he blows on it for like 5 minutes.
So we need to start looking at all of these weaknesses and coming up with our own assassination plan for how to take him down that utilizes all of his weaknesses.
Yeah, so the sniper thinks that Koro-sensei brought him there to kill him, but he actually brought him there to thank him for helping his students learn how to plan things.
And to make it a memorable trip.
Yeah, because they had to scout the locations to, you know, make sure everything worked. So the sniper has been educated and touched by Koro-sensei, and he decides that he is done being an assassin for now and wants to just see the world without it being through a sniper scope.
Yeah.
Which is... It's a one-off thing, but it's not a bad chapter.
Yeah.
It was good.
And I can appreciate the sentiment of wanting to travel and see things without having to look through, you know, a tiny little,
I wonder if they're going to do another parallel chapter or not.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. About one of the other groups.
You mean something else going on at the same time as these two?
Yeah, because they set up all the different groups of students at the beginning of this arc, so.
We don't have Karasu's or Iruno's yet.
Yeah. It's possible, but I mean, like, what else was going on?
I don't know.
They could be doing something amusing.
Yeah.
We have no idea.
Yeah, anyway, this will probably last.
We'll have our faux romance manga going on in this one, where they'll go off on a date while everything else is going on.
Yeah, this is... I like where Ass Class is. It's kind of a comfortable pacing and a comfortable story.
Yeah.
Kind of creepy rape dens aside.
Every now and then.
Yes.
It's only hopefully a little rapey, you know. No.
But yeah, it's ridiculously popular now, so there's no fear of it going anywhere.
Yeah, we can talk about it as much as we want.
No barraging going on.
Yes, like I said, we are not the ones who are the curse. It's Shonen Jump Alpha.
Yeah, we just have to pray.
They did not pick up Assassination Classroom, and they did pick up Cross Manage.
Which, when you think about it, was actually a kind of terrible idea for them.
Yeah.
They didn't pick up the ridiculously popular one, but they did pick up Barrage and Cross Manage.
Well, they didn't know.
I mean, like, they didn't know that they were going to be.
Yeah.
That was kind of their simulcasting. So I guess they're just. I don't know.
They're just terrible at picking these things.
Yeah. Pretty much. Then again, we picked Barrage too, and we really liked that, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, it had promise, but...
Yeah, I mean, we really liked it in that it could have been interesting, and it wasn't.
Just watch. They're going to end up picking the cooking one that'll be coming out next week, I think it is. Because I think that this week is, like, a policeman gag manga.
Let's hope they do not get One Punch Man. So did you guys know there's a new Dragon Ball Z movie?
Yes, I saw that.
You mean the abridged one?
No,
is it an abridged one?
Well,
it's had like some weird alien that Goku I'd never seen before.
It's he's fighting the Egyptian god of the dead.
Yes.
Anubis.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like it's a anime Anubis. It's not out yet. It's just
Yeah, it's next March. But this is the first I'd heard about it because I guess it was a trailer recently.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were talking about the second Bardock special or whatever it was. That's with that Bardock gets sent back in time and becomes the legendary.
I heard about that and I hadn't watched it because it sounded stupid.
There was a manga for it and it is stupid. DBZ Team 4 Star has done an abridged version of that one and it's great.
No, this is a Battle of the Gods, it's called.
Yeah.
So Goku just decides to just take down Anubis.
I'm hoping that there will be like a tournament and there will be like Anubis and Zeus and Jesus and.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. Or, you know, they're going to come to Earth, these evil space gods, and he's going to have to.
They'll be called Gould.
I could go down for. Or I could be down for some like random DBZ bullshit.
Well, it looks like Boo is there, so there will definitely be some random DBZ bullshit.
And if there's Boo, that means there's Satan.
Yep.
Yep. And I mean, if you want random DBZ bullshit, there is always the, what's it called? Although, actually, I guess that Dragon Ball Multiverse, although that is going on to
I read that, and
hiatus or something sometime soon.
No, I'm not interested in that.
I enjoy it.
I read it for a night, and I finished it, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I probably never need to read anymore. Because it's essentially just high production fan fiction.
Oh yeah, no, that is exactly what it is. But it's entertaining.
Maybe.
Didn't that end up ending like the person was going to quit doing it or whatever?
There's the primary artist is they're looking for a new artist basically is what it boils down to. The guy finished out the chapter that they were on and then they have another, they have guest people who do like special chapters that are, you know, showing the background of the different multiverses.
Since there's an entire generation of people in Japan who grew up on Dragon Ball, it shouldn't be too hard to find one.
Yeah. So I'm not really necessarily expecting it to end, but they have slowed the release schedule to, you know, account for the fact that, yeah, they might not have a whole lot more new pages in the buffer.
All right. Well, anyway.
All right. So I guess we'll wrap this up for this week.
All right.
I highly recommend anybody who has not seen Dragon Ball Z Abridged to check that out at team4star.com.
Right. And read One Punch Man.
Yes, definitely read One Punch Man in anticipation of our One Punch Man blowout next week.
One Punch Man special next week.
It's honestly really like I've one of the more entertaining mangas I've read this year.
Yeah, it's really funny.
All right, so this has been your Thursday, November 15th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
No problem.
And we'll see you all next week. Why?
So, Imran, I am posting a link right now. This is an Asian guy putting on blackface.
They look like giant dinosaurs because Gantz is awesome. That's why. Sometimes.
Wait. That's just a photo of a black guy.
This is an Asian guy putting on blackface.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yep.